The classic Lee Morgan Sidewinder. And speaking of Sidewinders, the Bay Area Air Quality Management District and Kinder Morgan have been acting very sidewindish lately. And so I'm very pleased to have on the phone Suma Pisapati. Good morning, Suma. Thanks for being on the Morning Mix.
Oh, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so Earth Justice, is working with APAN, CBE, Sierra Club, NRDC, and brought this lawsuit against Kinder Morgan and the Bay Area Air Quality Management District around this crude by rail project in Richmond. The audience of the Morning Mix is very familiar because we've been talking about this for some time now. Why don't you give us the details on the action that you brought and what you're seeking?
Yeah, so I, like many people, learned about the operation from watching the news and got a hold of the permit documents and realized that the type of permit that's involved here requires public review and an environmental impact report, especially given the types of impacts you would expect to see from a crude by rail facility, including air quality issues, a class of emissions of a class of compounds called volatile organic compounds are emitted during the what they call transloading process from the rail car to trucks. So, those are evaporative emissions. And a class of that class of compounds also includes benzene, which is a toxic air contaminant and a known carcinogen. Other impacts include hydrogen sulfide, which not only smells bad, but also has public health implications. And, of course, there's the risk of accident that's been very well publicized and unfortunately experienced elsewhere. I'm sure many of your listeners have heard of the awful, tragic accident in Lac-Mégantic in Quebec that killed nearly 50 people. I believe it was 47 people. And
right. I had Marie-Lane Savard from Lac-Mégantic here on the program.
The permit that the Air District issued to Kinder Morgan fundamentally changed the operation. It was an ethanol transloading facility, but the switch to crude actually required a public review and an environmental impact report. So we brought suit against the Air District to force that to occur.
Well, I saw the news story, and when asked the question of one of the Air District staff members, a guy named Jim Karras, mm-hmm. He said, ethanol, Bakken crude doesn't make any difference to me. Essentially, it's the same operation. Thus, we didn't need any kind of review. Under what type of analysis could he have come to that conclusion, given, the rigors of CEQA?
Yeah, I mean, we're asking that very same question. How is it possible that the Air District reached that very strange conclusion, given that the nature of ethanol and crude are, so very different. So as I just mentioned, the VOC emissions, the benzene, the hydrogen sulfide, none of that is that it would be an issue with ethanol transloading. Furthermore, the risk of explosion is greater with crude due to the higher vapor pressure associated, especially with Bakken crude coming mm-hmm. from North Dakota, the fracked crude, higher vapor pressure, lower flash point, lower viscosity. The characteristics, the chemical and physical characteristics of crude make it far more dangerous than ethanol in a number of ways. So the fact that the Air District reached that conclusion is strange, to say the least. And, I'm hoping this is an isolated incident, but if it's not, I'm hoping that this is it allows us to open up a window to what's going on with the Air District better and to make sure that their permitting process is faithful to the basic mission.
Well, you know, one of the things that's come to light just in the last week or so is up here in Sacramento, a similar, almost identical process where there was a permit for bringing in ethanol by rail, and they switched to the Bakken crude, and they didn't even bother getting a permit, but the Air District up in Sacramento gave them one ex post facto similarly without any public review, even though they were technically operating with out of permit. Here in the Bay Area, the Air District staff amongst those who are dealing with refineries and refinery-related issues, the staff of the Air District has very little credibility. They're seen as being servants of industry as opposed to responsive to the public health and safety of the community, you know, regardless of the facts, but that's how it's perceived. And here we see the same kind of process going on up in Sacramento. And does this suggest a pattern is going on with these air districts and its relationship to industry?
Oh, well, I hope not. I mean, you know, I don't want to be cynical, too cynical about it. But nonetheless, I mean, it does, I think, trigger some very important questions. Given that the basic mission of these air districts is to protect air quality, that's why they exist.
Well, you know, I had a conversation with Supervisor John Joya, who represents the West Contra Costa County area. He sits on the Air District Board. He's the chair of the Stationary Source Committee.
Mm-hmm.
And he sits on the California Air Resources Board.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me personally that he did not even know this was going down, that the board members themselves had no clue that this was an action taken by their staff. So either the staff is deliberately evading, you know, the scrutiny, or else they're just operating with a different interpretation of the law. And it would seem that, you know, the buck stops with Jack Broadbent, the executive director. Or was this decision made somewhere in the bowels of the bureaucracy and Broadbent didn't know anything about it, even though, my understanding, he's the permitting authority?
Well, you know, it's hard to say from the documents who ultimately called the shots in this particular instance. But it does seem, and following up on your point that the board wasn't informed, I mean, I think that's equally disturbing because, you know, they're the highest elected decision-making body of the agency. And for such a big project to kind of pass through this bureaucratic process without any, without the knowledge, presumably, or input of the board is troubling. And so, you know, the fact that John Joya, you know, expressed that to you, that he had no idea, is troubling. And this is precisely what California environmental laws are designed to prevent. This type of project should have gone to the board. They should have been fully apprised of what was going on, and it should have gone to a vote, a public vote, by the highest elected decision-making body, which is the board of the Air District. And none of that happened. And it's important for us to understand why and to prevent it from recurring.
So, you know, you filed this lawsuit and you've also sought an injunction to halt the activity. Tell us about that and tell us about a court date. When can we expect some action on this and where can people show up at?
Yeah, so at the same time we filed our complaint that initiated the lawsuit, we filed a motion for an injunction to halt all operations pending full compliance with the law, including an environmental impact report that is prepared and presented to the public for comment and eventually to the board, the governing board of the Air District, for a public vote. And so the hearing on that injunction is scheduled to take place on April 28th in Department 302 of San Francisco Superior Court, which is on McAllister Street here in San Francisco. Francisco.
And how big is that courtroom? Have you ever been in there? Is it enough for all of us to fit?
I think it's probably an average size courtroom, but I think that the more the merrier. If folks are able to come out, I think it's important for the court, for the judge to really see the public interest that's involved in this proceeding.
And so that's Monday, April 28th. And what was the department number again?
Courtroom 302.
Courtroom 302, and that's at the courthouse on McAllister Street. And do you know what time the hearing is slated for?
I believe it's 9:30.
Well, it's interesting because in response to this activity, Supervisor John Joy has called for a special meeting of the Stationary Source Committee, which he chairs, and Stationary Source meaning like facilities such as refinery as opposed to transportation sources of pollution, for Monday, April 21st, just the week before that hearing, and it will be at 10:30 a.m. at the headquarters of the Bay Area Air Quality Management District, and I believe that's 939 Ellis Street, just off of Van Ness in San Francisco.
Right.
So I guess that'll be a lot of activity and a lot of action going there.
Yeah.
And so let's walk it through. You know, let's say you go to court and the judge hears arguments, takes it under advisement and issues a determination, including the injunction. What do you perceive to be the likely argument by Kinder Morgan and the Air District against the injunction?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's hard to speculate without seeing their opposition papers, but
so they filed nothing at this point?
Yeah, not yet. Their opposition papers have not yet come due. So I think we'll better understand. I mean, I'm very curious to hear what they have to say, because to me this seems like a very clear violation of law. And so, you know, in terms of a likelihood of success on the merits, I think, you know, they're going to have a hard time developing opposing arguments. So, yeah.
Well, one thing from a community perspective that I found interesting was that, you know, with this crude by rail, all of a sudden people are finding out at the local level, you know, they can't really do much about what's on the rails because that's covered by the federal government through preemption. But on the other hand, you know, here you have a pipeline company, Kinder Morgan, that, you know, is not a rail company, but they're leasing the BNSF yard, and it appears that the federal preemption that is bestowed to rails, I guess, extends to Kinder Morgan through the lease. Is that the legal mechanism that applies here?
Well, the preemption issues that sometimes apply to railroads don't apply here, because here you have a local agency with permitting authority over the rail terminal. It's the terminal that's the key physical aspect that the Air District has control and jurisdiction over. And because the Air District has permitting authority over the rail terminal, and because CEQA applies to the Air District, these federal preemption issues shouldn't be an issue here.
Oh, well, that's good to know. And, you know, in your investigation about the permitting process and reading the permit itself, what was that process like, and what jumped out at you and caused you to realize that this was a bad deal here?
Yeah, well, when I read the permits and, you know, was kind of curious as to why there was no public review, why there was no environmental impact report, the documents indicated that the Air District had categorized the crude by rail project as what's called a ministerial action. You know, ministerial actions are like dog and marriage licenses. You know, they're checkbox exercises that don't require any independent judgment or the ability to kind of, to impose conditions on the project or reject the application altogether. This is not a ministerial project. This is not a ministerial action. This is not a checkbox exercise. This was what's called a discretionary action that took a year and three separate engineering evaluations, and ultimately a permit with very clear conditions that were specifically tailored to this operation. So there's no question that this was discretionary, that the Air District had the discretion to condition the project and reject the application altogether if it found that it, you know, didn't comply with the rules. And so for those reasons, the environmental requirements apply, including public review and environmental impact report.
Well, Suma Pisapati, thank you so much for all the work that you're doing on this. We look forward to the court date. And once again, that's April 28th,
yes.
9 a.m., you said, 9:30 a.m.?
9:30, I believe.
And in courtroom 302?
Correct.
And that's at the courthouse on McAllister Street.
Right.
And so anybody who wants to show up, it's a public courtroom, and show your support for an open public decision on this very, very critical crude by rail that's endangering the people in the fence line communities there in Richmond. So, Suma, thank you so much once again for your work, and thanks for being here on the Morning Mix.
And thank you for having me. It's a real pleasure.
Okay. We'll check you out later.
Okay.
Bye.